Today we'll be speaking on the last in the series of the old wineskin and the new wineskin. So we'll be looking in Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62, verse 1 to 5. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or your name desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. In Isaiah, it's the fifth gospel. Here it says that this gospel is the good news, this great news. And what is this news? That God wants to, he is anxious and earnest, and through the ages he has called the prophets, and he was not silent and was not quiet. He was calling and telling them, I will give you a new name. I will give you a new name until your righteousness shines out like the dawn, until the salvation like a be manifested to you like a blazing torch, and the nations will see your righteousness and the kings your glory. And God will give us a new name. And this, what is this new name? And then in verse 4 it says, it is the one, Hephzibah. That means that my delight is in her. And God loves us to what point? It's like the young man delighting in his bride. We are born in our families. We are given a name. It's not our choice. And we were born into this family. And then some people's name have a name. It's like to have a daughter would have a name. It's like I would have a brother, because the parents have all daughters and want to have a brother. And so their name, the parents gave them, is that they would have a son. And then other people would give the name to their child. That is, and is that, and then it's like, we did not want this son. We did not want this child. It's not in the hope. It's like, because the Taiwan people have a perception that children, you cannot say good things about them. And if you give them a bad name, a poor name, then the devil would not be jealous of them. And so the Taiwan people gave the children very strange names, so that the devil that they worship with, the idols, would not jealous of them, and so that the children would be easily raised. And that this is, men do not understand God. And so they are living in this kind of name, becoming their whole life shame. And then they discover that certain people, when they grow up, that their name is a same name as a murderer, and that becomes a shame their whole life. But I want to give you and proclaim you to new good news, that everyone who is saved God will give you a new name, and it's a beautiful name, and it's a very meaningful name, and that is, you will be the delight of God. You see, in the Bible, God will give a person a name. Let's look at Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse 27-28. Genesis chapter 32-27-28. And the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." So Jacob, his name, meaning is grasp. And then he's the one who grabs. And then he would grab and grasp things that he wants. And he would drive away other people so that he can get the prize. And his name's meaning is also a deceiver. And you see, the failure of his whole life has related to his name. And then his name is like a mole. And then it's like he's wearing a banner. "I'm a deceiver, I'm a liar, and I'm a schemer." And how did he get rid of these names that he has? You know, Israelites gave the names, it's related to the character of the child. And like many of us Chinese, the children's names were not given right away, but rather they gave the name after the child is born and observed them for a period of time. And so the name represents the character and personality of the child. And so Jacob is one who, character and personality is one who grasps. And so his heart is like a schemer, a liar, a deceiver. But when did God give him a new name? And God said that your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. And Israel means that is the prince. When did God give him this name? It is in the fort of Jabbok, in the verse 22. He struggled with the angel, and then he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and his hip was wrenched. And then you know that in the horse, you want to take away, tear off the leg of the horse is very difficult, because that is his source of his strength. You need to twist that tendon, and then you can take off the feet or the leg of the horse. Same with us. The hip represents our strongest part in our body, our natural body. And before God gives a princely name to Jacob, he needs to break the natural strength, source of strength. Needs to be harmed. Thieves need to be destroyed. Then the bountifulness and richness of God can be received. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 35, verse 9. And 10. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 33, 14 to 18. Genesis 33, 14 to 18. So let my Lord go ahead of his servant while I move along slowly at the pace of the droves before me and that of the children until I come to my Lord in Seir. Esau said, then let me leave some of my men with you. But why do that? Jacob asked. Just let me find favor in the eyes of my Lord. So that day Esau started on his way back to Seir. Jacob, however, went to Sukkoth, and there he built a place for himself and made shelters for his livestock. That is why the place is called Sukkoth. After Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. In verse 14, Jacob said to Esau, I move slowly at the place of the droves before me at the pace of the children. But then what happened? Did Jacob went to Seir? No. He went to Shechem, and then he camped there. In verse 32, it says, God would give him a new name, but the new name has not been put into effect right away. And then the doubts and deceitfulness, the personality, and the second-guessing type of character would not change right away. Even though Esau was good to him, he was still fearful. He said, why do you go ahead? I would meet you in Seir. And then he deceived Esau again. And then he changed direction and went to Shechem because of fear. He deceived Esau again. And you discover that Esau, he did not trust God. And once again, he used his natural deceit and scheme. And then he wanted to avoid problems in the future, so he made a turn and went to Shechem. And then God gave him a new name again already, but he still lived according to his old name. And this time, because of his deceit and his distrust of God, he paid a price. You know what happened afterwards? In verse 34, his daughter was raped, and his sons destroyed and killed and murdered the people. And then the whole family lived in fear, and they need to run away. Until verse 35, when we read in verse 9 and 10, God appeared to him again and blessed him and said to him, in verse 10 of 35, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. From this time onwards, Jacob truly became and truly received the name that God has given him to do, to behave, and to live according to the new name God has given him. This is the new wineskin. We need to get rid of the old wineskin. That is the name given by our parents. And then so our character lives out that name that was given to us. And then our old wineskins and the old name and the gifts that mold our character, we need to get rid of that. And we need to receive the new name that God has given us. And starting from chapter 35, Jacob is changed. In verse chapter 32, God gave him a new name. He did not listen. He's still living in his old wineskins. And then brought the fear and tragedy. But in chapter 35, when God appeared to him again, he truly received and believed that he is the prince and got rid of his old wineskin. So starting in verse 35, you see that Jacob is changing and changing. And then he is becoming righteous and then live according to his new name and did not return to his deceitfulness and lies of his old name. You would discover that God gave us a new name, but this new name, how can it become our personality and character? Many times it is through failures, it's through disciplining, it's through repentance. Then we can get hold of this new name until this new wineskin becomes fulfilled in us. Maybe some of us think that we are some Jacob, we have some bad characters. We can look at another person and what kind of old wineskin and how God gave them a new name. Let's look at Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 to 5. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 to 5. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 15 and 16. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Genesis 18, 11 to 15. Now, Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will now I have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. Any among us, we have this old wineskin that our body, we have some blemish. Maybe we're handicapped, or maybe we're too short, or too tall, or too thin, or too fat. And this has caused us to have low self-image and this helpless situation. Just like Abraham, he was already 99 years old. And God said to him, I will give you a new name called Abraham. And be called Abraham because you will be the father of many nations. You know, a person is 99 years old, has no child. But God said to him, you will become the father of many nations. And Sarai was 90 years old, no longer can have children. And she said that I am worn out. And my master is old. But the Lord said to her, her name shall no longer be Sarai, but Sarah. She will be the mother of many nations. When God gave us a new name, it is the time, it's the point when we are the weakest, our weakest point, our most shameful point, our most helpless, the most weakest point. And God will give us a new name in that area. Because our Lord loves to cause the weakness to become strength. And then He loves to create something out of nothing. And He loves to change the shameful to the glorious. And God did not give them earlier, but when they are completely failed, they're all. That she's no longer having a period, she is already past menopause. And God said to her, you will be the mother of nations. And both of them, even though their minds do not understand it, but they received it in their hearts. And you discover that Abraham, Sarah, they will change their thinking. And often they would say to each other, Abraham, come and eat, Father of Nations, come. And he said, Mother of Nations, I am here. And then the neighbors would laugh at each other. No, they would not care. When they start calling each other that name, new name, when you call out this way, according to the promise of God, they call each other's name. And then Sarah would think that she has been restored to her youth, until that when she called out, and Abraham would call her that the mother of nations, and she said, yes, I am the mother of nations. When she cried out and proclaimed the words of God, and then the body would be physically changed, and then she can bear children. And you would discover that when God gave her this new name, in the chapter 20, in verse 2, King Abimelech wanted her to be his wife. You see, a 90-year-old woman, and she said, I'm worn out, and I'm old. But when she often proclaim her new name that God has given her and the promise that God has given her, and she became very young, and she is very attractive, and the king Abimelech wanted to have her for his wife. Brothers and sisters, in your image, in your body, physical appearance, and you feel very low self-image, God wants to say to you, you are my beloved. But in the eyes of God, you are beautiful without blemish. God loves you. He enjoys you like a bridegroom delights in the bride. Maybe that you feel that, or some people feel that, I may do not have a husband on this earth, or my husband has left me or divorced me or died, but your beauty, And then your life, your hopeful life is still starting today. That God has given you a new life. That God loves you. You are His beloved, and that's more precious than many people loving you. And God loves you, and see your beauty is much better than the estimation of others. And I've seen many of our sisters amongst here, after they pursued the Lord for a while, they become more beautiful. And after several months, they come over here, how come they become so beautiful? Why? Because they discovered that God loves them. They found the source of love. They found the person that they can love. Maybe since we were young, maybe the teacher do not love us, the teachers do not like us, or our spouse dislike us, or our children do not like us, but that's an old wineskin. Today you need to get rid of it. Today you need to get rid of it. God wants to give you a new wineskin. And this new wineskin says, I am the beloved of God. And just like the bridegroom loves the bride, and then is full of passion for me. He sees me as completely beautiful and lovely. This is very important. We have a sister. Although other people praise her that you're a good wife and a good mother, she did not believe that, because she already made up in her mind that she's not a good mother and a good wife. Why? Since when the husband would always say this and that about her, and then the children always feel that she's nagging her, she's nagging them and said that, you, how come you're not like another mother that we see? And she did not feel like she's a good mother, even though she's changing and changing. But now, and the children are better towards her, but many times we've been spoken such negative words for so long, then we have a very poor self-image. Later, and then when people praise her, she did not receive it, understand it, accept it. When people said that they need to change in certain areas, and she could not take it. Why? Because they have a self-poor image. And so when they praise her, she cannot accept it. And when the people try to help her, she cannot accept that either. So one day God said to her, I am the God who lives inside of you. It's me who causes you to become the best. Because I'm living you, you are the best. So don't have that poor self-image, so that you cannot accept the praise from others. If people praise you, accept them, because I in you to cause you to become the best wife and the best mother. Not you, it's me in you. And the Lord said to her, there is a low self-image yoke over your neck. And this inferiority complex causes you to have this emotional outburst. And this low self-image inferiority complex influences your emotions. You need to get rid of this yoke. When I'm leading you, you are the best. In all circumstances, you are the best, because I am in you. And so this mother was built up by this words of love from God. Brothers and sisters, man has given us many words, spoken many words to us, and given us this wrong image of the old wineskin. We need to get rid of that. Only the words of God would endure to eternity. And the words from our parents, for people, is spoken out of temper in a short while. But we receive these words and then grow in us, and then grow up to be a low self-image tree. But God says, I am here. I'm here to give you a new name. No matter what family you were born into, it was not your choice, but your new name, you have a choice. You can choose to receive this new name or accept this new name. We who are from Taiwan, or we Chinese, the previous generation, the parents were very strict. And then the parents from Taiwan, since they were under the colony of Japan, they were very strict with us. They never praised us. And the children that grew up in these types of family, we would not normally believe that we are one, we are beloved, that we do not believe that we are loved. One time, and there was something happening in the church, I reject myself. Many times when something happened, I would ask whether I was wrong. Maybe if I'd done something right or better, then these things would not happen. So I have this self-rejection in me. So that time, the prayer warriors were praying, and the prayer warrior said, wanted to pray for me. Even though the days were very busy, and many times I would not want to understand what kind of things I'm feeling, my own feelings, because I'm always trying to help others. And I did not feel what I have inside of me. Maybe I had a little bit, and then a little bit of unhappiness in my self-rejection. And so the prayer warrior said that, let us pray for Pastor Grace. And then another prayer warrior said, and God in them is calling, and calling Hephzibah. It's the one I love. And so by my ear, she was calling out, Hephzibah. It's from God. It's the words from God. Entered into me. And then I cried and cried. I was touched by the love of God. And so warm in the love of God. And not only when I went home. And for several days, I always said to myself, my name is Hephzibah. My name is delighted by God. And before this, I don't remember how long, I asked God, God, do you delight in me? Do you rejoice over me? So that day, after my prayer, I opened my Bible, and three times I read, I am pleased with you. You are my beloved. And just like Jacob, God gave us a new name, but it's not carved into our hearts. Why? Through our growing up, I wanted to be good. I wanted to obey. Then my parents would love me. I need to make my best effort so that they would be happy, so that we would have this doing our duty. And we have not tasted the unqualified love. Even though I've done wrong. And then they would still say, I am pleased with you. We always said that we need to be good, obedient, have good grades. And then our parents would love us and pleased with us. Many times we live in the qualified love. And many times we too have the same attitude towards God. So from that day onwards, many times I thought that my name is Hephzibah. And then many times I say to my co-workers, my name is Hephzibah. And I feel that, and I become more joyful and more joyful. So brothers and sisters, this new name is not for me only, but for every one of us. Everyone who has been saved, has been redeemed. God has given us this name, Hephzibah. Hephzibah, God is delights in you. This is a very important matter. In a heavenly way, you need to be built upon this foundation to go forward, to go forward. And then with not a little bit, and then you would self-reject. And some people would say that I did not have morning devotions. I'm not spiritual enough. So, and therefore I'm not holy enough. And therefore my God does not listen to my prayers. And so whenever there's needs for prayer, why don't you pray? You are more spiritual. Why don't you pray? God does not is not pleased with you because you have morning devotions. Before you were a sinner, while you were still a sinner and opposed God, He loved you. He loved you to come in the flesh and die for you. Brothers and sisters, do not know, you just know it. You need to deeply receive it, accept it, and that this is my thought pattern, that God loves me like the bridegroom loving, delighting in the bride. in this new wineskin, you can take in more new wine from the Holy Spirit. In this new right thinking, we can receive more new wine. So if you still live in the attitude that if I serve the Lord and minister for Him, then God loves me more. No. But God loves me while I was still a sinner and opposed Him. Therefore, I'm willing to serve Him. It is reasonable for us to serve Him. It's not that when we serve Him, then God, you need to love me and be good to me and answer my prayers. No, that is the old wineskin. That is the cause and effect thinking. And then after we serve the Lord, we say to the Lord, Lord, I am a servant who is no good. It's not that I come, I've done these things, I need to get my present, that you need to bless me and give me this and that. No, no. I am an unworthy student, unworthy servant. Before, I was condemned to death, to hell. But today, I'm free, so I'm joyful. I now have this freedom to serve God. And then if we serve Him in thankfulness, in this new wineskin, we would not then let the enemy have areas to attack us. Let us look at Peter, John chapter 1, John chapter 1, 42. And Jesus said to him, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. When Jesus looked at Simon, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. Simon means small stone. Small stone, little rock. And it's easily changed personality. And the Cephas is Aramaic. It means Peter. Peter is a Greek. And so Cephas means it's in Aramaic, but Peter is in Greek. And Peter means rock. It's like a rock, a big rock. When Jesus saw Peter, He knows his character and personality. He's one who is easily changed, easily ill-tempered, and unstable personality. But God said to him, I would cause you to be called a rock. This is a new name. God gave him a new name. And Peter, I believe that Peter would feel bad about his impetuous personality. In every circumstance, he cannot keep his mouth closed. Even in the serious circumstances, he wants to say something but doesn't know what he needs to say. And he's one with many words, and many times he spoke wrong. And so he is one who's been rebuked by Jesus the most. And he's rebuked the most times by Jesus. But in the end, he became the rock. He truly became the rock. And Peter feel depressed and hopeless about his character. I'm one who is emotionally unstable, immature in my personality. And then saying words without thinking. And so Peter is very hopeless about his problems. And on the first day, God saw his he can become a rock in him. He has a princely, noble character in him. It may be we may have some unsatisfied with our own characters. Maybe we are not deceitful like Jacob, or there may be unstable, immature personality traits, or we are always hateful of ourselves, that we always criticize and judge others, or always say the wrong things and hurt other people, and we are dissatisfied with our personality traits. But I tell you, God wants to give you a new name. In your weakest point, God wants to do a great thing. The weakest point will become the strongest point. First, you need to accept your new name. I am delighted by the Lord. Only when you step on this foundation, then you can go forward. If you're always living your old wineskin, oh, I said it wrong again, and you slap yourself, and you're mad at yourself for so many days. And then you have wasted the days that God has been building up in you. Don't look at your garbage. No, you need to look at heaven. God has given you a heavenly character, a heavenly personality. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give him some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Here it says, to him who overcomes, I will give him a white stone with a new name written on it. So God will give us a new name. And that is, in whom I delight in. So, we need to be in this joy that I am in this new name until I overcome, until this new name becomes my character and my personality. That my personality would grow and would be at the same level as the name that I've been given. This is the overcomer. I've read a book, and the name of the book is called Hind Speed on High Places. And I asked our the bookstore co-workers to buy this book and encourage the Sunday school teachers to read this. And this is a very good education to know the heavenly way. And it speaks of a little girl. Her name is called Much Afraid, and she lived in the village of Trembling Fear. And then the good shepherd is to call her to go to the high places. And then she has many difficulties. She has a twisted lip, and then she is handicapped. And one of her foot is handicapped. And so she has a very bad physical image and very poor self-image. But the good shepherd wanted to call her out and said to her, I will give you a new name. I will give you a new name. From today onwards, there will be a seed of love in you, planted in you. Until this seed of love, until it grows out, until all the flowers are blossoming on you, then the new name will be completely on you. Only when you climb up to the mountain, the new name will be yours. From today onwards, today there will be a seed of love planted in you. And then when she wrote this, it's very like the Bible. It's like he's giving you a name, Hephzibah, like the bridegroom delighting in the bride. That's how I love you. And so in this seed of love, we need to follow him. A new name represents a new character trait. And here it says a new name on a white stone. And it's the heavenly character. It's completely new. Other than the one who receives it, nobody else knows it. And then these things will be accomplished in these those who are overcomers. They will need to go through the wilderness, through the lonely seas, through the difficult ways. Then this personality will be grown and mature in them. So this much afraid little girl, through the desert areas, it was difficult and much suffering. And she saw a flower, and it's gold in color. And the gold color, and it's the only life form in the desert. And so she asked her, "What is your name?" And then, "My name is called Joyfully Receiving, Acceptance with Joy." If a person can receive every circumstance, including our spouse, including our children, including our in-laws, including our managers, including our colleagues, my pastor, my preachers, accept it with joy. You would grow in you, a heavenly life would grow in you. When every circumstance comes to you and you receive it with love, even though it's a place of suffering and dry, it will become a joy in your life. Every wilderness circumstance would be an instrument to build up your love in you, because you can call out and say, "This is because I am beloved of God. I am beloved of God. God is pleased with me." And then you will have this heavenly character, because our natural temper is that if things go my way, then I'm happy. If things oppose me, then I become mad. That is the poor life. That is the earthly life. That is the old wineskin. God wants to give us a new wineskin. It must be through the desert, the wilderness, through difficult times, through dry circumstances, but you are joyful there. No matter what kind of circumstances, I can be joyful, then life will grow in us. And this good shepherd said to this much afraid little girl, said to her, "You need to climb up to the mountain." She said that, "I cannot climb up there. I'm handicapped. I will give you two helpers. One with them is called sorrow, and the other one is called suffering. And she said that, "I don't need these type of helpers. Can you give me peace and joy? I am suffering enough already. Why do you still give me sorrow and suffering?" But this good shepherd said to her, "These are the two that can help you the best." And so this much afraid little girl, in the difficult circumstances, when she's falling down, when she starts to touch, when she grabs hold of sorrow and the suffering, and her heart hurts, and the sorrow and the suffering would bring you pain. But she discovered she has strength. She has strength to go forward, to climb climb her up these steep slopes. What does this mean? Because sorrow and suffering would help us. When we embrace the cross, have a heart for suffering, you will discover you will have strength. Three years ago, I have osteoporosis, and it's like a 62-year-old woman. That was several years ago. And then I started to hurt this place, and first it was the knees and then the hands starting to hurt. And I read the articles about this area, and as the osteoporosis, and then it's a very painful, and then every place in your body would be hurting. And then I hurt here and there, and then many times there is this fear in me, however slight it is, until one day I read under Andrew Murray, he read about the cross, the secret of the cross. I read one or two chapters. All of a sudden, there was this cross revealed in me. In my heart, I said to the Lord, Lord, I need to embrace this cross. I need to embrace this cross. The cross is the power of God. From that day onwards, 3-4 years ago, until today, I have never feared this, not once. All of a sudden, this bone would press down, and I need to push it up. When I carry heavy things, I cannot carry heavy stuff. I took and then I'm holding someone, holding a cup of someone for a while, and then after a while, it started to become weak, and sometimes it's very frightening signs. But since that day, 3-4 years ago, I started to boast of the cross. I know His cross, the power of the cross, the power and authority of the cross. And I'm not starting to worry about myself or worry about pain. From that day onwards to now, I have not feared or worried about this. Often, whenever it's painful, in faith, I would do spiritual warfare. I would say, Lord, You will heal me. But in these 3-4 years, I am stronger than 3 or 4 years ago. Sorrow and suffering are two helpers, are our helpers. We carry, hold our hands until we come to the kingdom of God. Every time when she said that, oh, it's so painful, but yet it gives us strength. It gives you strength. A person was not willing to accept sorrow or suffering, and always want people to praise me, people to empathize with me and love me. That's a poor and weak life. So when there's persecution, when there's suffering, when there's sorrow, if you've been laid off, you must thank the Lord for this. Then sorrow and suffering will lead us on forward to climb up the mountains. You know this little girl, when she climbed to the highest point, the shepherd was there, the good shepherd was there, that's Jesus. She discovered that. And it's such a beautiful place. She discovered that. And that before she was handicapped, how come her feet were healed? And then, and as fast as the hind's feet. And so she asked the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, how did You heal my feet? And the good shepherd said, it is through walking through those difficult circumstances. And when she was climbing, and then the last phase of the mountain climbing was very steep. And they said, what is the shepherd doing? I have passed through so many suffering. How come each stage is more difficult than the past? She was complaining to sorrow and suffering. He said, it's not possible for me to climb up there. and she was almost giving it up. And then sorrow and suffering encouraged her, and so she went up. And then two gazelle and two deer, and then climbed up there. You see, the deer is the hinds are showing up, appearing. So you need to just walk at they, and said that they are gazelles, and I'm handicapped. And she started to follow, even though she was slowly walking. And then her feet started to grow and be restored, and faster than the hind's feet. Brother and sister, this sorrow and suffering is to cause us to be strong. And then she entered into the garden at the high mountains. She discovered that the sorrow and suffering have gone. He said, what happened? They have been changed into joy and peace. And so pain and suffering, sorrow and suffering cannot come in here. Only when you hold our hands, we can come in here. In heaven, there's only joy and peace. How come I call you? If you're willing to accept and receive sorrow and suffering, then we become joy and peace. If you're not willing to accept suffering and joy, we will not have true joy and peace. It's only a short peace and joy of the world when we're changing all the time, left and right. Just like Peter, Jacob, and Abraham, when the name that God gave them is accomplished in their lives and it's been grown into them, they need to go through discipline, suffering, lessons of obedience in difficult circumstances. They need to obey, that the faith may grow up, that the new name may become their character, that their character will grow up and match the name that they have been given. So brothers and sisters, God gave us this name. It's His delight in us. In His love, you need to go forward. So this much afraid, in her difficult circumstances, she thought of the love of the good shepherd. He will not deceive me. Even though He has given me this difficult circumstances, I believe that He loves me. In every trust of Him, He chose, put down your own choice and choose the way that the good shepherd has measured out for us, has allotted for us. Then she will grow and grow into her character of a new name. And her name is Grace and Glory. Her name became Grace and Glory. Grace and Glory. That is God in our weak, we who are weak, who are deceitful, who are schemers. In the sinner, He wants to build glory and grace. And then that people will no longer see our old wineskin, the self inferiority complex, the low self-image, but people will see grace and glory in us. During Thanksgiving, I received a letter from a sister from out of state. She said that she was in deep difficulty because the one she loved, her husband, had an affair and became very cold towards her, without emotions towards her. She was in deep suffering and pain. And all she thought of was shame and anger and revengeance. And she said, while I'm still young and beautiful and without children, I want to marry someone who is more handsome and better and laugh at him. You see, my new husband is better than you. And she wanted to take vengeance on him. But God let her to our website. and she started to listen to the tips of the inward life. And as she listened, she started to do and follow the teachings. Before, she was in her bed, and then the tears were washing her face. But as she did according to the teaching, praising the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, obeying the Lord, and submitting to the will of God, she said such a wonderful change in her life. And she said, angels, the angels on top of her house were recording down the no quarrels, no complaints, full of praise and thanks and happiness. That's what the angel records. She said that last Thanksgiving she wrote me a letter, and she said that in those sufferings she can start to forget them, but this Thanksgiving that she has gone through a difficult long time, but in terms of what things, those painful things were, she cannot remember. And then her husband, and would go out and go shopping, and now would talk with her and take tea with her. She said that even though it's still a long ways away from the complete restoration relationship, but now they can be together and talk and have a chat and take tea and go out shopping and eat. No quarrels, no complaints. So this sister on Thanksgiving, they wrote me this letter, and she came to our summer conference also. She said that I have met my lover, and the eyes of my lover is looking at me with passionate eyes. So since she returned from the summer conference, she's thinking of the love of the lover, how the lover cares for her, and the lover of her lover, the love of her lover, she's living in his love. Brothers and sisters, this sister, she has the feet of the hind feet, and she can live in the high places. She has the new name. So I hope that through this sharing today, the brothers and sisters, that we would receive our new name that God has given us. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says that we are the work of God's hand. And that it says that it is a masterpiece. We are the masterpiece of God's hands, in God's hands. That is, God in Christ has drawn us as a work of art, as a work of art. And that is to say, God is pleased with you. Completely beautiful, without blemish, a bride. And in Christ, He has drawn this masterpiece. We must receive this. Just like Abraham and Sarah, since that they will become, God said to them, you become father of many nations, the mother of mother nations, many nations. And they will say that they will be shameful that 90 years old, they do not have children. That will not be ever shameful self-image. Said, no, now I am a mother of nations, and noble and glorious. And when we are like this, slowly, bit by bit, God will make this new name to become our character. Let us sing this hymn. He can change. He is able to change. This character to be fulfilled in us, we need to receive it with joy. Accept it with joy. God will accept all the circumstances that God has given us. this and give us this new wineskin. So no matter what circumstances that you encounter, don't say that God is displeased with you or when you're laid off, but rather in this time you can come and worship to the common harp and bowl, so that you may be filled with His love. And you say to the Lord, yes, I am beloved of yours. Impress that in me, and don't give me a job until that is accomplished in me, so that I may have this new image, that I can go to work, that the nations may know you, that the salvation lamp would be manifested through me. Let us stand and sing.